Well, good morning. And this is the last time, in a roundabout way. As I had alluded to last Sunday, and for those of you that have watched the sermon, and I have to make a correction here because I keep saying the 6th, and the 6th is a Saturday. So if you show up on a Saturday, you'll just have to spend the night here till Sunday, and we'll be here the next morning. But Sunday the 7th, we will be back in sanctuary. And I got a bunch of questions fired away at me the minute I said we were coming back to church as a group. Where are we going to keep recording? The answer is a two-part system. Number one, my attitude is no, but the rest of everybody that has set this up has threatened me with physical harm if we don't keep recording, including people out there in the Ethernet. But yeah, we are planning to keep recording it. And as I have been given to understand, we're coming back even with Sunday school that starts at 9 o'clock. I get my time right. We'll start Sunday school at 9 o'clock, and we'll have church back in sanctuary at 10 o'clock. Should we really call it Sunday school? Most of the people in here have grown up, and I want to think of a new name for it. And adult education doesn't sound right, because it almost sounds like you're kind of quietly making fun of them. So I thought about it, and I have discovered a new way to promote our Sunday morning time spent together. Are you ready? Sunday morning scripture study. That one came to me, you know, because I have that going on. But anyhow, if you are available and you are ready, and I'm hoping everybody is ready, we will definitely be full sanctuary coming back next Sunday the 7th. And we are blessed by it. We are looking forward to it. And so that's about it. It has been a journey that, who knew we'd ever take this step? Who knew? We've talked about putting a video camera in here several times, and I was always able to strike the idea down because I just didn't think about it much. Oh, by the way, I have to take the stuff that makes noise in my pockets out because apparently it shows up here on the old microphone. But who knew? And yet, in the midst of all that, God gave us great blessings. And so thank you for being a part of it, and thank you for being what will come next. Okay? Well, without further ado, let's get this thing started. Our scripture lesson today comes from a hard-to-find scripture. And perhaps you've heard of it, maybe you haven't, I don't know. Our scripture lesson today will come from Psalm 23. And while you're looking that up, I have some friends who are Catholic, and so, and I've told this one before, and I can't help it because it's the proper time, right? We are now fully in the throes of Lent. Well, it seems that there was a neighborhood of Catholic people, Catholic churchgoers, and they all lived in the same neighborhood, and right in the middle of them was a good Protestant. And every Friday, because you know when you're Catholic, no meat on Friday, you need fish. No meat. And right in the middle of them, this good Protestant every Friday would fire up his barbecue grill and be grilling steaks or hamburger or whatever. And that smell would waft around, and all these Catholic fellers would get to smelling that, and because they knew they had to eat fish. And they all decided, we can't take any more of this. What are we going to do? So they said, let's change him. That's the way, right? So they went over and they visited with him. And they convinced him to decide to become a Catholic. And so they spent time with him, and they put him through catechism, and they learned him the Catholic way. And the time was spent. And finally, just before the next season of Lent came around, he got everything ready, and the priest, he was brought in. The whole community came in, and he stood up in front of the priest. The priest was right there with the little thing of holy water and began to sprinkle him. And saying these words, you was born a Protestant, you grew up a Protestant, and now you're a Catholic. Welcome into the house of God. Everybody congratulated and loved on him. They was all ready. Lent come around. And that first Friday, they was all set for it. When suddenly, they smelled steak cooking. Well, what in the world? What in the world? And they went around and finally they found that their newly made Catholic parishioner was in the backyard cooking steak, and they came upon him, and before they could say anything to him, they noticed that he was standing there with a little sprinkler of holy water at it, sprinkling the holy water on the steak, going, "You were born a cow, you grew up a cow, and now you're a fish. Welcome into the house of God." I know you're laughing. You can tell that one to your Catholic friends. Psalm 23, the Psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." May God add his blessings to that passage. May we seek him out in prayer. Father, as we start down our journey today, let these words that come from me be not from me. Let these thoughts be gathered together by you to strengthen us, to lead us, to guide us. Father, give us what we need for this week to come through these words, knowing it was good to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, amen. Well, there comes that time where, as I have done, and although we're not a Catholic church, it is time for me to make a confession. Now, all-American country boy, hillbilly type here, but I've got to tell you, I truly do believe in unicorns. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see a collective gasp right now on the other side of that camera going, "What?" As a matter of fact, I got to tell you, a couple Sundays ago, I explained to you all the process for developing a sermon. How it just, wherever it comes from is however it comes from. And my greatest critic, my greatest constructive critic and supporter, you might know her as Wendy, she always reads my sermon or says to me, "What's the sermon title?" And so today, she goes, "Unicorns? Nope. Jesus? Really? Have you lost your mind finally?" You can almost see that look in her eyes, like I explained last Sunday, where she was like, I cannot believe I married this guy. He's coming up with this kind of stuff. But I believe in unicorns. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, sir, I am a firm believer, and I have experienced unicorns over my lifetime for sure, even as much as lately. Now, let me explain to you the asterisk, if you will. In my world, a unicorn is something that never happens. It's something you dream about, but it just doesn't exist. There was a comedian out there, and his name escapes me at the moment. He defined the word awesome, which could be considered unicorns, and he gave a couple definitions to it. He said one of them was hitting the lottery twice. See, that would be a unicorn. Getting a call from the IRS saying you've been audited and they owe you $150,000. You see, that would be considered a unicorn. These are things that never happen, but you know they exist. But this past week, four times, the unicorn came to me. Would you like to hear about it? Say yes, Paul. Say yes. You in the back. There you go. Now, let me tell you about my journey to work in the morning. I wind up getting out of bed sometime around 4 o'clock in the morning, about 15 minutes after the alarm goes off at 3:45. And I do my regular routine, get cleaned up, get dressed, go downstairs, get my coffee, take this gigantic handful of pills that I'm supposed to take every day, the likes of which I'm not sure what all's in them pills. Wendy's the only one that knows, and sometimes I wonder if she is slowly trying to off me to get the insurance money. And I get my coffee, and I go out, and I get in the car, and I start the car up, and I turn on the music, which is usually going to be, at that hour of the morning, bluegrass or old classic country. And I drive to work, and I go down Route 40, which in my town is known as the Golden Mile, to get on Route 70 to head to Baltimore to go to work. And there is a series of traffic lights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And there used to be a thing on the Golden Mile that the lights were timed. If you could hit the first one green and stay at 45 miles an hour, you could bing, 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 hit them all green. Never happens anymore. Never happens. Because inevitably, you got to hit one red. And I'm usually going through them lights at about 4:15, 10 minutes of 5 in the morning. This past week, every single one of them green. I didn't have to speed. I didn't have to speed up or slow down. I didn't have to make a run on a yellow light. All of them green. I was so excited, I almost turned around and came back up the Golden Mile to try it again. That's unicorn one. Unicorn number two. The other day, I have discovered, and this is not an advertisement of any kind of stretch of the imagination, but McDonald's is selling this crispy chicken sandwich they call spicy. And the other day, I thought, you know what? I'd like to try that sandwich for lunch. So I pulled into the McDonald's drive-thru. There was a big, long line. I just sat in there listening to the music, being peaceful, being patient, as you know I'm a picture of. And I ordered my sandwich when I got up there. And I said, you know what? This is a good day because I'm going to try something new. And I got up to the window and I reached out the window to pay. And the person said, the car in front of you paid for your sandwich today. I said, can I add to the order? I didn't say that. I was like, and I blew the horn and they drove off and they hand out the window and that, and I'll never know who it was. That's two unicorns. Number three, again, involves McDonald's. The other morning, I got to hankering for eggs and sausage for breakfast. You know, just eggs and sausage. That's what I wanted. And I just wanted some eggs and sausage. And, you know, you can go there, and you can get a side order of eggs, and you can get a side order of sausage. So I went to this other one. There was nobody in line. There was, let me explain that. No one there. I drove up to the speaker. I thought the place was closed. Hello, can we take your order? Yes, I'd like two side orders of eggs because they're just little things. I'd like two side orders of eggs, and I'd like three, count them three, 1, 2, 3 sausage patties. And I make a little sandwich out of eggs and sausage patties, you know. I got up there to the line. I paid the bill. I took the bag out. I put the bag down, and I drove off. And I got to the job site, and I set my little tray up on my steering wheel, and I'm going to sit there and eat my breakfast. And I pulled the platter out because he put it in this nice little container, and I set it down and I opened the thing up. There was 2 eggs and 8 sausages. Oh, I've heard of that kind of stuff happening, but it's never happened. It's a unicorn. Three. And then yesterday, brothers, I want to talk to mostly the men. I'm not trying to be sexist or anything like that, but the truth of the matter is that men go to hardware stores and drag their wives along. Wives go along happily to a hardware store in the spring to buy flowers to plant or seeds or something like that, and are happy to go along to get stuff like for the Christmas tree in November. The rest of the year, face it, women, you don't want to be in there with a man because it's our time to get revenge. Because we go with you to those stores where you walk out with the 25th pair of shoes on that look exactly like the other 24 pair and go, well, what do you think of this pair? And you know what happens when you get in a hardware store or the Tractor Supply or something like that and you got your wife along with you? Are we done yet? Well, we just walked in the door. Well, I know, but are we done yet? I had to go to Home Depot yesterday and pick up 4 items. 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Count them, 4 items. And I'm driving down there at 12 o'clock on a Saturday. I know what's coming. At the store down in Frederick, they have an awning over the entrance. And they have 8 spots there. And they're always full. And there's one spot in all of those 8 spots. And if you can get up under the awning and pull into that spot, when you get out of your car, because it's right there in front of the door, when you come out of shopping and get into your truck to leave, you don't have to back up. You just pull out onto the road and drive away. And as I pulled in, that spot opened up. I am not lying to you. I heard angels singing. Or was it them Byzantine monks? Oh, parking spot. Whatever it was, I got it. And the guy behind me knew I got it, because when I got out of the truck, he looked at me like this. I almost had a unicorn. Yeah, but I got it. But wait, we're not done. I walked into Home Depot and found everything on my list in 10 minutes. I walked over. I'm doing my shopping. And now I come out and the lines go from Frederick to Hagerstown at them cash registers. Okay, well, you know what? I got the parking spot, man. I got the unicorn of unicorns. I'm happy. What do I care if I got to stand in line? And I'm walking up there and I'm starting to look around. And I look way down there, somewhere around South Carolina, is check stand number one. And I'm walking along and I'm wanting to get in like four or five because they're near the door. And I'm just looking around. As I look down there, check stand one's light came on and nobody saw it. And the girl at check stand one went, "Come on." And I said, and I went down there and I laid my stuff out and nobody else got in front of me. I was in and out of Home Depot in 20 minutes. At that point, I decided if today the trumpet blew and the good Lord took me home, it really ain't going to get a whole lot better than that. See, but you know what that actually was? Those were blessings. And that's this whole sermon in a nutshell. They're not, they're unicorns. They're something that never happens. But isn't that what a blessing is? Something that sometimes is constantly happening, but then there's that one blessing that you never think is going to happen, and it does. That's Jesus, not no unicorn. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines blessings this way: approval, encouragement, or thing conducive to my happiness and welfare. That's a blessing. A unicorn, a blessing. And when I was leaving that Home Depot, I'm telling you right now, I said a prayer of thanks. And some people may say, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of. Why? I thought about my entire week this week, which was a hard week. There's a lot of things that went on this week at work that were tough. A lot of things that didn't quite start out the way they were supposed to, but finished the way I hoped they would. And all along the line were these little drops, doink, 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 reminding me that I have Jesus Christ in my life, in control, leading me on and taking me where I want to go. And every now and then, if I would just stop and look around at what happens, it's called a blessing. Not everything is beautiful. Remember my favorite bumper sticker from the 70s? God does not promise a smooth flight, only a smooth landing. Blessings. And I hear people all the time look around and complain. I'm telling you right now, I hear people complain about that rain falling out there. Oh, I just can't believe it's raining today. Well, would you rather it be snowing like that? Well, no. Well, what would you rather have? Well, I'd rather see the sunshine. So you're telling me you'd rather never see it rain or snow and light up the ground with some moisture so that stuff will grow? It's a blessing. Or how about this one? I just can't believe that my car is dirty again with all this road salt and mud and muck and blah. You have a car. There are people that don't. Blessings. Unicorns? No. Jesus. And that's where we start to lose things a little bit. We get lost in this ugliness. We get lost and trapped in all this stuff around us that reminds us of the dirt and the mire that we're in. In the later part of the 17th century, German preacher August Franke founded an orphanage to care for the homeless children of Halle. I don't know, it's a German town, and I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. But one day, August desperately needed funds to carry out his work, and a destitute Christian widow came to his door begging for a ducat, a gold coin. Because of his own financial situation, he politely but regrettably told her he couldn't help her. The disheartened woman began to cry uncontrollably. Moved by her tears, he asked her to wait, and he went to his room and he began to pray. Lord, I don't know. How about you send me a unicorn, a blessing? After seeking God's guidance, he felt the Holy Spirit wanted him to change his mind. So trusting the Lord to meet his own needs, he gave her the last of the money. Two mornings later, he received a letter of thanks from the widow. In that letter, she explained that because of his generosity, she had asked the Lord to shower the orphanage with gifts. That same day, Franke, August, received 12 ducats from a wealthy lady and two more from a friend in Sweden. He thought he had been amply rewarded from helping the widow, got his unicorns, got his blessings. But he was informed later on that day that the village was to receive 500 gold pieces from the estate of Prince Lauderwick of Van Wartenberg. When he heard this, he wept in gratitude. In sacrificially providing for that needy widow, he had been enriched, not impoverished. He saw the ask and answer for blessings. I have been hammering us pretty good here over the past several weeks about how we need to be. And sometimes we need to stop for a moment and think about how we see Jesus. Right? We need to think sometimes about what it is in our life. And I know it's hard. It has been so hard this past year that people have actually commented that they can see it's finally starting to get to me in my sermons. That shook me up a little bit. Made me back up for a moment this Sunday. Well, what do you mean? Well, we can see that the energy is different, that you're having to work harder. Because if you could swing this camera around, there's nobody here other than the production team. Now, on this particular Sunday, because we're going out to an event afterwards, my sons have actually graced us with their presence and brought some of their friends along. But it's still not the church family. And it wears on you. And in the middle of all that, in the middle of all that struggle, in the middle of all that, let me tell you what the blessing is. This camera that I'm looking into. What did we pay for this thing? $150? We paid $150 for a camera. And every Sunday, we record. Greg goes back and he edits it on a computer. And has the ability to put this thing up online so that people can stay connected. And for those of you that have been having a good time with our new sermon style with the opening and closing credits, usually it's Wendy or Greg or John that turns off the lights. Because we don't want Bud to get mad because we're wasting electricity. But look, in all of this throughout the year, it's been a blessing. And finally, we stare off into the not too distant future that we're going to be able to be back in here again. But the whole crux of it is, we are blessed. You got up this morning. You're breathing. You have food, clothing, shelter, friends, blessed. And all of those, they're not unicorns. They're not rare. They're Jesus. They're God through Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, lifting us up. See, I know, here's the disclaimer. There'll be people that say, you know, you used that scripture 2 months ago. So what? Want to hear a little funny story? I've been preaching at this church for 15 years. 15? 15? Anybody? Is that right, Peggy? 14 years? Am I 15? Whatever it is, I've been here for a while. I don't keep track of that kind of stuff. And about a year or so ago, before we went through the shutdown, my beautiful friend Peggy Kiefer, who is Greg's boss, she finally told me a story that she takes her Bible and writes down in her Bible the date I used what scripture. Now, if that don't hit you right between the eyes, that makes you think a little bit. But you know what? No. I don't care. It's like the old joke about the preacher that preached the same sermon, right? Comes in on Sunday, he preaches the sermon, and everybody's like, boop, 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 boop. Wonderful. And the next Sunday, he preaches the same sermon again. Everybody's like, okay, well, that's odd. That's kind of curious. And the third Sunday, he preaches the same sermon again. And people are starting to be like, what's going on? On the fourth Sunday, he preaches the same sermon again. And before the church starts on the fifth Sunday, the deacons corral him off to the side and say, you can't preach the same sermon over and over again. He said, really? He said, why not? Well, we've all heard it. He said, great. Tell me what it was about. Silence. This book, these words, these scriptures are made to be read again and 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 again. And sometimes you're going to have to read it four or five times in a row. So I don't worry about it. The scripture I chose today is the scripture we were led to. And unfortunately, that scripture gets used. And it's good to use it, but sometimes it gets pulled out and set over here as the funeral scripture. Because generally, you're standing alongside the graveside when you start into those words as the final moments. But the truth is, it's a blessing scripture. Let's look at it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What's that mean? You're blessed. In all things, in every way, in every possible conceivable moment, you're blessed. He makes me lie down in green pastures. How many people have ever gone out in the spring when that grass is just right and laid down in the grass and just smelled that spring air? You know, it's beautiful, isn't it? And the next thing you know, somebody's kicking you. Wake up, you've been laying out there for an hour. I thought you were dead. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Still waters. Gentle flowing waters that lifts you back up. He restores my soul. Blessings! He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now that is the verse that a lot of people rush past. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know what that means? That means as you sin, you are forgiven through His name. That He continues to lift you up. He continues to take you along the path of righteousness. He continues to hold you up. That's called a what? Blessing. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, again, from the moment we're born, our days are numbered. And we constantly walk near that shadow. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I love that. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff. That's the discipline we get. The training, the leading, the paths of righteousness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That simple line means that no matter what, no matter where I'm dropped at, no matter where I fall, no matter what's going on wrong, you're right there in front of me, making sure I'm taken care of. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. That's another blessing line. Pressed down in measure till it's overflowing. That's the blessings we got from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What that simply means is, because I have taken the name Jesus Christ, all of this surrounds me. And one day when I leave this terrestrial walkabout, I will dwell with Him. That's a blessing, not a unicorn. No, that's Jesus. Jesus' name is mentioned 256 times. Billy Sunday was talking about this in a sermon called Wonderful. He said, Jesus' name is mentioned 256 times in the Bible. He says, I suppose because he was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express. All of it is a blessing to us. To hear that name over and over and over and over again. That name we hear, Jesus. What's that song we sing? Like the fragrance after the rain? Jesus, Jesus. We need to remind ourselves that even in the midst of all this turmoil, we are taken care of. In the book of Isaiah, I'm pretty much hanging right there in the Old Testament this Sunday. But in the book of Isaiah, if you go and you read the entire book of Isaiah and all the chapters, you understand this is a broken country. And Isaiah the prophet has been telling them, this is coming, you got broken, here's what's coming next. And in the midst of that brokenness, it's hard to lose sight of what's real out there. It's easy to lose sight. It's hard to keep sight of the blessings because it just gets down on you. You get so lost in it, don't you? Some days you just don't even want to pull the covers back and get out of bed. And that's how it is. I can't lay in bed. I can pull the covers back and go downstairs and lay in my easy chair and go back to sleep. I've become a pro at doing that. But in the book of Isaiah, in the 41st chapter, Isaiah is writing. The subtitle is called The Helper of Israel. And in the 8th verse, he starts it out like this. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend. I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you will search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the God, Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them. The wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Woo, baby. That's good stuff. That's reminding us in the midst of everything, we have blessings. And what we might see sometimes as unique and unbelievable and a unicorn, that's truly the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God guiding us, this world. And here's the coolest part. He gives blessings to those who don't believe. They're still breathing, aren't they? They're still alive, aren't they? Why don't we start praying for those people that don't believe, that walk around with that big chip on their shoulder? You remember that commercial from back there in the 80s, don't you? Who was it? Robert Conrad. My man, Robert Conrad. Oh, man. Would walk up with that Duracell battery on his shoulder and go, knock it off. Dare you. Of course, nobody ever did. But people walk around with that attitude. And yet they're still blessed because they're still alive to live. They're still alive. There's still hope. There's still chance. There's still a moment. There's still something out there for them. A Christian railroad engineer, and why? A Christian railroad engineer was speaking to a group of fellows about heaven. He said, I cannot begin to tell you what the Lord Jesus means to me. In him I have hope, and that is very precious. And he explained, I love this story. Because, you know, trains. And many years ago, each night as I neared the end of my run, and we were stoking that thing up for its final bang against the hill, and that black smoke would be pouring out of that stack, I would always yank down on that cord and let that very long special whistle blast out just as I would come around that last curve. Then I'd look up at that familiar little college at the top of the hill where my mama and daddy would be standing in the doorway waving to me. After I had passed, they'd go back in and say, thank you, God. Benny is home safe again tonight. Well, they're gone now. And there's no one to welcome me. But someday, when I have finished my earthly run, when I have shoveled that last bit of coal, when that engine is getting ready to breathe its last, and I draw near heaven's gate, I believe I'll see my precious mama and daddy standing there. And then one will turn to the other and say, thank goodness, thank you, Lord, Benny is home safe at last. That's the blessings. That's what has been given to us by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Larry Stevenson does this song. And it's a hard song to find. And I've sung it here before. And I think it has been a very long time since I've sung this song. And this song just gets me wham. I just love it. And it's so simple. And he just... It's a beautiful bluegrass song, and it just doesn't, you don't hear it much. Excuse me. It's just simply titled, You'll See Jesus. Look up in the morning sky, a million miles away. And you'll see Jesus. Look down in your children's face, watching them as they play. And you'll see Jesus. In the love we have for others, in our sisters and our brothers, you'll see Jesus. In the brown leaves of September, in the snows of late November, you'll see Jesus. You'll see Jesus in a rainbow, or a mama's loving care. If your eyes are really open, you'll see Jesus everywhere. In a church on Sunday morning, by your bedside in the evening, you'll see Jesus. In a web of spiders weaving, and giving and receiving, you'll see Jesus. When the trumpet sounds its warning, and you have been believing, you'll see Jesus. You'll see Jesus in a rainbow, or a mother's love and care. If your eyes are really open, you'll see Jesus everywhere. Fay Inchbon, who lived a generation ago, wrote a poem. These lines were on her need to understand the expectancy of God's presence and what He means to us, the blessings we have, and what will come. Sometimes when everything goes wrong, when days are short and nights are long, when wash day brings a dull sky, but not a single thing will dry, when the kitchen chimney smokes, and when there's none so old as folks, when friends deplore my faded youth, when my baby cuts its first tooth, while John, the baby last one, clings round my skirt till the day is done, and fat, good-natured Jane is glum, and the butcher man forgets to come. Sometimes I say on days like these, I get a sudden gleam of the bliss, not on some sunny day of ease. Jesus will come, but he'll come on a day like this. Not unicorns. Jesus. I tell this as a joke, but I love it. And I have to do it because I have to back up the front end of the sermon. Little Timmy had become 5, 6 years old. And as little boys are wont to do, and to the breaking of their mama's heart, he decided he was old enough to walk the 4 blocks to school by himself. And mama couldn't hold on to him. And he knew that little Timmy and Johnny would walk together, but she didn't want to take that away from him. But her neighbor, who had a daughter that was 3 years old, Shirley Goodness, the next door neighbor, and her little daughter Marcy would go out walking every morning. And so she made arrangements with Miss Shirley to look after the boy, kind of keep back at the distance, just make sure he looked both ways when he crossed the street and did what he was supposed to do. And she said, well, sure. And so little Timmy and Johnny struck out on their own. And after a few days, Johnny finally turned to him and said, Timmy, we've been walking to school by ourselves, but every morning I look back and see that woman and that little girl following us. Do you know who they are? Timmy stopped. Oh, yeah, I know who that is. That there's our neighbor, Shirley Goodnest, and her daughter, Marcy. I guess it's like that there scripture in the Bible that we was learning in the Sunday school, Johnny. Which one's that? Shirley Goodnest and Marcy will follow me all the days of my life. Shirley Goodness and Mercy will follow us all the days of our life, because he died, because he lives, and because, no, it's not unicorns, it's Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are blessed to know you. We are blessed to be lifted by you. And we ask, Father, that you remind us of the blessings and that we'll see Jesus everywhere if we just take the time to look and understand. I know you have prepared a place for us to come home safely, the greatest blessing of all. But in the meantime, Father, remind us that they're not unicorns. They're your Son, Jesus. And let us be blessed and lifted by it. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for being with me this past year. This is not the end, but this is a new chapter coming back. May God add his blessings to you. May you reach out to someone if you need it. If you do not know my Jesus Christ, may you come to know him. And on Sunday morning, March the 7th, at 10 a.m., if you want to see more about him, come on down here to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren and be with us. May God add his blessings to you this week. May you be carried along in his strength and his care. Thank you.